case you missed out on all the fun on the show, you can catch up on the Josh and Maddie podcast right now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast, the Power FM Brekkie Show weekly podcast.
Yes, it is. Back, another week has gone by. This week went pretty quick.
I feel. It's good to have I reckon we should work 2 days, day off, 2 days, 2 days off.
Right.
Because I had Wednesday off. Didn't feel like a holiday, but 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on.
So essentially a 4 day work week. I think I'd prefer to have a Monday or a Friday off.
Yeah, definitely.
Than have a 3 day weekend, three in a row.
Yeah.
You just said you wanted 1 day in the middle off instead.
No, you're right.
You didn't think about that option, did you, of moving
that
day?
Well, I enjoyed it this week, but I don't know. I don't care, actually. I'd rather just work 4 days, and I don't really care what.
Well, let's be honest, I'd rather just win the lotto.
And then not work.
And not work at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't win last week. It was 80 mil. Disappointed.
80 mil. Did the guy end up getting it? Did the guy end up...
Yeah, they found someone. It was a really nice story. A guy from Melbourne who just lost his job in the sixth lockdown.
He is not going back.
He is definitely not going back. He was and is working as a cleaner to support his family.
Oh, lovely.
Really lovely story, that one. Well, that was all the headlines last week. What were headlines this week? Ed Sheeran has a new album coming out.
Yeah.
Is it going to be really slow and dramatic?
I don't know.
Like always?
I don't know.
Because Bad Habits is probably I guess that's going to be on the album because that's the single he's released recently. Yep. And that's kind of upbeat-ish.
That's kind of dancey.
Yeah. Bad Habits lead to late.
I don't know if I enjoy Bad Habits. I mean, I'll sing it if it's on the radio, but...
I don't know how I feel.
Listen to it on Spotify? I'm looking it up and listening
to
it.
That's my kind of gauge with things is if I add it to... we shouldn't be promoting Spotify, but meh. Might be listening to this on Spotify.
Exactly.
That if a song gets added to my Spotify playlist, I'm like, yeah, I like it. Mm. But apart from that, the problem is, though, for us, because we have the radio on here at the station all day long.
Yeah.
So when people normally listen to radio, they get like an hour a day, probably tops, hour or two, unless you have it on in the background.
Yeah.
And so you just get like a small sample of songs. So we hear, because we listen so much, the same songs on repeat.
Every 4 hours, every 3 hours.
Yeah, so it's a lot for us. And I'll hear a great song and I'm like, oh, I'm really loving I Got a Bet, but I'd Rather Be in Yours. Loving that song, but I know I'm going to hate it in a week because we're playing it too much already.
Well,
which we have no control over.
Eden actually showed me that song about a month before it came onto the radio, so I've been listening to it for a long
time.
You
cool kids.
Yeah, same with Heartbreak Anthem.
I don't really like Heartbreak Anthem.
Heartbreak Anthem.
I guess, though, with a lot of the songs that are those dancey kind of boppy beats at the moment, they all sound the same. If you just took that beat and changed the lyrics, it would not even matter. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that.
Maybe we could do
that. We could prove that. I'll find some instrumentals and I'll just sing
differently. Is someone at the door or am I seeing things?
Yeah, Lockie's at the door.
Oh, I thought he'd
Come
be
in.
At the...
Come in, Lockie.
Come in, Lachlan.
We're recording the podcast.
Aren't
you going to an OB? Oh, it's only... this hasn't started
Aren't you recording... are you going to the podcast?
Hello. Am I recording a podcast? No.
No, aren't you going to that? What do I say? OB.
Aren't you recording a podcast? No,
OB, for people who don't know, is an outside broadcast.
Thank you for listening.
To people listening.
Yes, going to an OB.
Are you excited?
I'm here to kick you out. Yes, heading down to Central Cleaning Supplies. By the time people hear this, it will already be over.
Oh, it depends how quickly I get this podcast up today.
Well, if you're hearing it before 1 p.m. on Friday the 19th
of August. Wait, what time do you start? Isn't it 10 to
20th.
1?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
10 to 1. 20th, is it? Jeez.
Only going quick. 11 days left of August.
Excited, yes. Excited because the sun's
excited,
out.
Excited, yes.
Excited because Lord's released a new album today. Yes. Have I listened to it? No.
Why haven't you listened to it yet?
Because I didn't want to stay up all night, waiting for her to release it.
Not a dedicated fan.
Was it not New Zealand time or was it?
No, she released all... This is okay.
Oz time.
Hello, everybody.
We are talking about music actually at the moment, so this will make sense.
So singles will be released usually American time for most artists. So if Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, even Lorde, when she released her singles, they'll come out usually 2 p.m.
Yeah,
2
p.m.
is
the normal time, yeah.
Because that's midnight. That's midnight Eastern time, I think, in America.
Like L.A. time.
Why would they do that in midnight in the U.S.?
Because it's their date moving over. And because record labels don't want it to be released early in other places. So this is for singles. Albums, Australia Australia's lucky. We always get our albums early.
Oh, good.
So Billie Eilish, we got that early because that's dependent on date in time zone.
Because we're going into the day, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So because we're technically in the future, we get our music earlier. So if you want to, listen to your favourite artist before everyone in America, stay up till 12 p.m. the night that album's 12 a.m. the night the album's released, and you'll get it first. We're very lucky here.
Fun fact.
Yep. So sometimes I do that. Last night, I've got a busy day today, so I was like, I'll listen. And it's also an album about sunshine, so I was like, I shouldn't listen to it in the middle of the night. But very excited. Some albums I listen to in the middle of the night. Taylor Swift, though, here's another fun fact for you. I'm so sorry to people listening to this podcast. I've gone on a rant.
No, we've been talking about music and
Taylor Swift.
Songs.
So when you're a huge artist like Taylor Swift, she releases Midnight America because, again, she doesn't want it to leak. So she will release it at 2 p.m. our time. So it's a kind of like so she released it to the whole world at the exact same time, which is interesting. When you're that big, you can do it.
You Spotify, do whatever you want.
Spotify will give you those kind of luxuries.
Yeah, right, okay.
Some artists will too, like Drake will do it at 2 p.m. Kanye will never release an album, so there's no point in discussing
we're
that.
We're talking about releasing. My boyfriend released a new song this morning and I forgot.
Oh, there you go.
What time did he do that?
He did Midnight Australia.
Yeah.
Which is US.
Which means yesterday in the US.
Yeah.
They found it. They got it.
And it's with US artists as well, which is, so now I'm trying to think about, but yeah, he always releases his songs at midnight.
Well, it does. Sometimes it depends too. Like the single, a lot of bands are playing with the single rollouts now. Like,
just doing singles.
Well, Billie Eilish has pretty much, like her album, she's gone, I don't really care how the singles chart.
Well, Tones and I didn't Tones and I not release an album until like 2 years
after?
Well,
she's another one. She's just drip-fed singles because she... So, okay. You have singles artists, you have albums
artists. We've got 30 seconds left.
Singles artists, albums artists, right? Billie Eilish, she's an albums artist. So she can just release the singles whenever she likes. She knows her albums, they're going to be successful. Uh-huh. Taylor Swift, similar thing. She released her album singles after. Tones and I, she's not an albums artist. She's a singles artist. Her singles will be out every time she releases. It'll be a Friday at midnight because she wants her singles to stream. Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, that
on that note, here's my boyfriend's new single, everybody.
No free promotion.
I haven't listened to it yet, actually.
Oh, really?
It's called My Own Enemy.
Okay, this is great.
Nice.
I've got a new track out as well. It's called Beneath the Sunshine.
Well, we're not going to have a track out. We're entering a talent show, possibly, so we could be innovating the music scene with what we're planning on doing, possibly.
We could be, very much so.
We'll see. Anyways, this podcast has gone weirdly off track.
Yeah, probably cut from the moment I walk in.
Probably. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll just cut and be like, hey, Lockie's here. And then be like, oh, you can probably cut just between and just cut that whole. No, we won't. We'll leave because that's all interesting stuff. Enjoy the podcast. We're not going to tell you what's in this one because we've already been gone for 7.5 minutes. But you'll just have to listen and find out.
Oh, I was going to tell what's in it, but then I clicked on the wrong folder.
We're at 7.5 minutes.
Andy Lee's on the podcast.
That's all you need to know.
You need to know. Awesome. Thank you. Welcome. Enjoy. Goodbye. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye. We're all getting older, and every day I realise a little bit more that I am becoming an adult. I'm becoming like my parents. Have you had these moments of like epiphany moments, being like, oh my God, I am the product of my parent?
Yeah, I do things sometimes, or say things sometimes, and I go, oh, okay, all right, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. Yeah.
Well, I thought that we could put this to the test to see how far along into becoming your parents you are.
Okay.
So I've gotten 10 things that you might or might not do, and I reckon if you do at least 5 of these things, you're officially your parents and you're an adult and your childhood is over.
Okay, all right.
All righty. Number one. You get overwhelmingly proud of how much you can fit into a dishwasher, a suitcase, or the boot of a car.
Yep.
You do that? Okay.
I was literally saying this to Ian the other day. I was like, look at all this stuff I got into the dishwasher.
All right, next one. You tell the same stories to the same people over and over again because you just forgot that you told them before.
Not so much that one.
No?
No, not so much.
Alrighty. Next one. You get excited when a new supermarket opens.
Yep.
New products as well.
Yep.
It's always a good time. You say the words, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, to people, and you mean it.
Yes.
Off to a good start. Yeah. I think you'll be becoming a fan.
9 out of 10. Okay.
All right. You constantly fall asleep in the middle of movies.
No, I never. I'm always too invested in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You enjoy going to shop for new furniture.
We have the... Oh, there's a couch at Harvey Norman that Eden and I really want.
But are you realising these are all things that your parents do as well?
Yeah, I know, I know.
All right, this one is particular for me. Mm. You judge other people's front yards. We were out for a walk the other day and I was like, no, I don't like that grass that they've picked for that one. It's got too much weed in it.
No, we do that as well. We live in Newington and there's manicure, there's lovely manicured front lawns and then there's lawns that have been, you know, a bit let go a bit. And we go, they need to fix that up.
All right, next one. You have to look up the new slang and acronyms because you have no idea what young people are saying anymore.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I have no idea what half of them mean these days.
Yeah.
All right, look, second last one. You start stories with back in my day or when I was a kid.
No, I don't.
Yes, you say all the time, when I was a kid.
Do I?
Yeah.
When?
On air all the time. Like, when I was in high school, when I was in primary school.
When I was in high school? Is that the same?
We'll put that as a half.
Okay, all right.
Last one. You care way too much about the temperature setting on the heating or the aircon.
No, I just want it to be warm.
Oh, so you don't care if you've got to bump it up to like 24 degrees.
Nah. 24? Ours is at like 26.
Do you know how much money that is costing you?
Not a lot. Our power bill's pretty good.
Oh, okay. Anyway, all right, let's quickly count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think it is safe to say you've become your parents.
Yeah. How good is that?
Josh and Maddie, 103.1 Power FM.
One of the most exciting shows, I think, apart from all that reality show garbage, is The 100 with Andy Lee. Andy Lee's on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Now, you're in Sydney at the moment. How's the lockdown life going for you?
Oh, yeah. I just kind of don't see much, to be honest. the inside of my house and also the inside of an edit suite to get the show ready for tonight.
Definitely. Now, the show is exciting. Something I've never seen on Australian TV before. The show aims to find out how Australians think and feel about different topics. Were you surprised about some of the outcomes that the people had to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we cover a range of topics. There's been some more serious ones, like, you know, how do people feel about the vaccination getting rollout and what percentage of Australians think it's going well, and then back to how many people sleep in a nude. So I certainly thought that more people slept in a nude. But maybe that just shows that I do sleep in a nude.
Well, you've just revealed that, so everyone's probably picturing
exclusive.
That now.
Exclusive.
So obviously there's a lot of questions that do get asked on the show, but there'd be some that didn't get asked. Is there any that you can think of that you wish, I wanted to know what they would have thought of that?
Nah, we just keep asking. If it spikes our interest, we keep going. There is some that you can't get, real stories behind. We can get the stats because everybody on our 100, there's 100 people on a huge screen that represent the cross-section of Australia. Mm. Everyone on our 100 can remain anonymous, so if they want. And there are certain topics that they don't want to talk about. But on the most part, someone's happy to share so I can go up and get the story behind the stat.
Speaking of those 100 people up on the screen, was there one of them that kind of stood out, a character that you really wanted to hear from most of the time?
Well, it's mainly the questions. When people are happy to talk about things, for instance, I think on tonight's show, it comes up where we talk about how many sexual partners people have had. And a fellow was happy to get on and chat that him and his wife have only ever been together because they met so young. And it's just fascinating hearing people go about their lives and share. So I'm always really grateful.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this is a very kind of COVID-safe show. Was that always the idea, or were you going to have 100 people in like a giant scaffolding structure in the studio, or was it always the Zoom version?
No, always the Zoom version. It's so much better that way. I mean, we get to see people's real households, and I keep getting distracted by backgrounds, mainly pets that pop up. But, people are more relaxed, and you learn a lot more about them just as we beam into their homes opposed to, you know, when you bring people in the studio, they're putting on their Sunday best and dressing up.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's great to finally see you back on the screens, Australian screens. You can watch the 100 tonight after the block on Channel 9. Andy Lee, thank you so much for chatting.
On your legends. Thanks so much.
Do you ever tell people you're going somewhere and then go somewhere else? Or when someone invites you to something, say, oh, sorry, no, I've got something on, and then just not go?
No, I'm usually, I feel like I'm a pretty honest person. If someone invites me to something and then I don't really want to go, I'm just goes, sorry, I'm not feeling it. I'm like, I just need to chill at home for a bit. And I'm just, that's how I kind of do it. I don't be like, oh, no, I've got some other plan. I just stay at home. Like, no, I just say, well, I'm not going.
on Tuesday night, we play netball. And on Tuesday night, I also had a birthday party that I needed to go to, which was Eden's sister's birthday. We went to Flying Horse. And the next day, on Monday, the day before, Lockie was kind of interrogating me, like, oh, what's her name? How old is she? Where's she going? Like, to try, as a joke, obviously, but like, just trying to get me to slip up.
You've missed a couple of games of netball, so.
I have. And that's just, you know, dad life. You'll get it eventually. But there has been a few instances where I've missed games. And I was chatting to a friend of mine the other day about who was in Coffs, who's in New South Wales, video chatting. And she, we got onto this conversation, somehow we got onto this topic, that she has an album of photos that she uses. She posts up on social media so that people think she's somewhere when she's really somewhere else.
That's wrong. That's not okay.
I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic.
No.
So what happens was someone says, oh, do you want to come to this thing? She says, oh, sorry, I've got this thing. She has a photo in that album that is of that, you know, theme.
So maybe it's her a birthday excuses. Party or something.
And she posted up being like, hey, great time here. And then she posted up on social media so that if that person that invited her to the other event sees, she thinks, oh, she's actually at that event.
Can we normalise saying no to events? Because if this is the lengths people are willing to not go to something, I would be annoyed if I was one of those people that invited her to one of these things and then found out that she has this fake photo album of what she's posting as her excuses. I would actually be really annoyed at that. I would want her to be like, why don't you just tell me you don't want to come? I would much prefer that, because it's much better than finding out later that the photo is fake and
That's not the worst part of it. I asked, has there been any, what have you used this for? What photos do you have? And she said, I've got a photo and this is terrible. And I told her this, but we laughed about it, but it's terrible. She was dating a guy. She didn't want to date this guy anymore. She put up a photo that she was at a family member's funeral.
That's terrible. My God, this girl.
And the boy showed up at the funeral parlour. No funeral
That's
happening.
That's a nice boy.
No
Good
funeral.
On him.
No funeral happening. And then he broke up with her because she lied.
See, this is what I mean. It is worse to lie.
So she got what she wanted.
Well, no, but she looks like the bad guy in this situation.
Yeah, that's true.
If it does come out, the truth always comes out eventually. Yeah. So she's always going to look like the bad guy when people realise and we'll just stop inviting her to everything in general. And there'll be a time that she actually wants to go to something and people will be like, no, we're not inviting you, because every time we invite you somewhere, you post photos. It's like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the girl that made the excuse.
She's the girl who posted on Instagram stories.
Yeah, don't do that. Let's normalise saying no to events, guys.
Just say no.
103.1 Power FM's Josh and Maddie.
A guy over in the UK, he's embarking on almost a 3,000-kilometre journey on a 50cc moped to places with rude and funny names around the
he's
UK.
He's going on a moped. I love that.
Yeah. Shut up, man. I got a moped now. What's that song? Oh, whatever the Macklemore one is.
Is it downtown?
Downtown, there that we one? Go. Yeah, got yeah. there at the end.
Yeah.
For two radio announcers, we do really good on music.
Yeah.
So his name is Paul Taylor. He is from Oxfordshire, and it's a charity fundraising trip in memory of his friend who died from cancer, which is a lovely reason to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully I don't get in trouble for saying these names on air. His journey will begin in Shitterton.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and it will take in locations such as Twat, Sandy Balls, New Forest Holiday Park, Cockpole Green, and Booze. Yes, these are all real places in the UK.
They're all real places in the UK.
So he's going to as many of them as he can and just wants to visit all the funny names and get photos of the street signs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So this guy's name is Paul Taylor, right? You and I know a Paul Taylor.
We do.
He's right next door to us at the moment.
He's next door.
Our rival.
Yeah, don't worry. Won't even say the name.
So I was thinking maybe we could make a list for him to do around Australia. Once borders and stuff open back up.
We'll send him out.
We could send him on the Great Australian Funny Name Road Trip because there's a ton of funny ones. Even here in Ballarat there is surely some.
There's a lot of local funny street names and locations.
I did go through the full entire index of street names in Ballarat this morning because I had that much time on my hands for some reason. We do have a street called Frontage Road.
Oh, good.
I like that one. Pretty close to here there is a place called Whipstick Scrub.
That's an interesting one.
It's a goldfield. Elsewhere in Victoria, you will find Tit Wobble Lane, Teddy Bear's Gap, Ding a Ding, and Sausage Gully. These are just some examples.
Sausage Gully.
In Canberra, I remember near what's called the Canberra Outlet Centre, so COC, Cock.
I don't know whether you needed to say it.
Some people might not have got put two and two together.
COC, no.
That is on is called Iron Knob Street.
Okay. How much trouble are we going to get in for saying
it? It's an exposure site at the moment as well.
An exposure site.
Help us add to this list. 533-1031. Funny, rude.
Did you mean to say it's an exposure site?
Yeah, like I did.
Okay, great, because that was very
Did you like that one?
I love that. I used to drive, on the way to school, I used to drive past a street that was called Balzac, B-A-L-Z-A-K.
Nice. Yep. Nice. That's someone in the council going, we can't do the SA version, but we can do the Z.
Balzac Street, so.
There's plenty of them around there.
There's plenty.
533-1031. Give us a call with your funny place names you found in Australia.
Please, this is going to be so good. Let us know.
Damon from Lake Gardens, what needs to be added to our funny place name?
Oh, okay, I've got a great one. Close to where my parents live in South Australia, there is a town called Dingler Badinga. I can't even say it right. Dingler Badinga. That is literally the place name.
Dingler Badinga.
Yes.
I like it.
A hell of a lot better than I do.
It's got a good ring to it.
Yeah, I like that. It's a nice kid's name. Hey, Dingler Badinga. Oh, I can't even do it now.
There you go. You got too confident.
Andy from Redan, have you got a funny name?
Oh, you've definitely got to have Mount Blowhard. I've got family up there. Cracks me up every time.
Oh, yes. I've heard of this one. It's in Queensland. Classic. I was waiting for someone to call with this one. Thanks, Andy.
It's got to happen.
Thanks, Andy.
There is a Facebook post up on our Facebook page, Power FM Ballarat. If you've got any more street names, maybe you live on a street name that's a little bit embarrassing to say when you're at Vic Road. You're like, what street do you live on? I live on Balzac Road.
Yeah, I've also just done a quick Google to find some other fun ones out there. Tasmania has Pisspot Creek, Snag Point, and Thrush Forest. Yep.
Cool.
Let us know what needs to be added to our list so PT from next door can go and visit them all for us.
Josh and Maddie, Power Ballarat.
This story really makes me wonder and makes me kind of nervous about the type of parent that I need to be, because there have been Victorian parents, a Victorian couple who live in Darley. They have purchased a second-hand McDonald's playground.
For their own house?
For their own house.
So jealous! Oh, which one is it? Does it have a helicopter?
Well, there's a photo of it. There's a photo of it up on the article, and it's no helicopter, which is sad because that's iconic. No helicopter, but it does have, you know, a few slides and a few compartments. And
that is so cool. How much does it say how much it costs?
$5,000. Apparently that's a bargain.
I don't know, because I'm thinking, like, I know at Costco you can buy full-on, like, playground kits, and they're about $3,000.
I know, but this is a Macca's one.
Yeah. A lot of germs.
Well, that's the thing. They said they had to give it a bit of TLC, wipe it down, change a few things about it. They finished this is what they've been doing. Since the pandemic has happened, the mother has been posting a lot of videos on TikTok, and they have changed they've totally transformed their backyard into like a kid's paradise. They've put down like AstroTurf, they've put the playground up the end, and they've made it like this kid's
Oasis.
Love that.
And the kids are absolutely loving it. 18 months it's taken them to change their backyard. They started in December 2019. Funnily enough, they bought the playground in December 2019, thinking, oh, we'll get to it eventually. And then they've been home for 18 months and they were like, well, we have time now.
How do you even go about buying a Macca's playground? Like, do you just rock up to a store and be like, hey, can I take the playground? Like, how did this happen?
Well, it was online. So they went online to Gumtree and just kind of looked at, just searched playgrounds.
Oh, I'm intrigued now.
Look to see
I've
if
got
there's
my
any,
laptop in front of me.
If there's any Macca's people listening of any kind of influence and you're thinking, you know what, we need to upgrade our playground. I'm open to negotiations.
I'm looking. Let's have a look here. There's nothing really coming up.
It has to have the helicopter top. I don't know why you would not get a playground and not have the helicopter top. They did have to also hire a crane, a cherry picker thing to try and, you know, lift some of the playground up. So it can be a bit of an expensive project, but once you're done, it's completely worth it.
Yeah, look, I can't find one on Gumtree, so they got an absolute steal, let's be honest.
Yeah, $5,000. 100% would do that. If I saw one, I would take it.
I'd buy it for myself. Screw
Absolutely.
The kid. I don't even have a child yet.
I get stuck in it as well. This week is National Science Week, which is very exciting.
It is indeed. And for some people, they just think of science as like high school science and that's it. You know, just the Bunsen burners and stuff like that, which is not the case. So this morning, we have gotten on a professor of evolutionary biology.
Yes.
His name is Rob Brooks, and he joins us on the phone. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
So what does an evolutionary biologist do exactly?
Well, evolution is the fundamental process that shaped the whole of the living world. And so evolutionary biologists do all sorts of things from, you know, looking at how viruses mutate and respond to vaccines, through to understanding the deep history of life. And what I do as an evolutionary biologist is I study behavior, and I study particularly the conflicts that happen within sort of sexual reproduction and sexual relationships. So, you know, we used to thinking of sex as being something and relationships being something that's friendly and cooperative and, you know, a mummy and a daddy who love each other very much kind of thing. But even in those situations, there are differences of opinion about, you know, do we have another baby, and do we send them to private schools or to the local public school, and whose chance is it to do the vacuuming this week? So I'm very interested in the ways in which evolution shapes the things that we argue about and that, you know, cause division within societies.
Yeah, I just welcomed my first daughter 4 months ago, and I can completely relate to everything you just said. Some of our biggest arguments are, who's going to vacuum? Like, you did it yesterday. Do I need to do it again? That sort of stuff. But getting back onto the relationships and sex side of things, is sex more complicated now compared to 30 years ago?
It's a really good question. In some respects, it's a bit simpler, in that we have, you know, apps like Tinder and Grindr and OkCupid that will, if you're looking for somebody, they will help you to find somebody, and they'll go through a much bigger pool of possible people. When I was at university, you know, we went to class, we went to parties. You might meet two or three new people a week, of whom, you know, one every few months you might have been interested in. Nowadays, there's this whole pool. You decide you want a date, and all of a sudden you have access to thousands, tens of thousands of people if you live in a
Endless.
Big city.
We're talking about just apps and stuff then, but one other kind of new way people are going about dating is by going on these reality TV shows like The Bachelor and Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
How do these play into the evolution of our dating? Does it have an impact?
Look, I think what it is more of a reflection of the evolution of our dating. And so, you know, well, what do we do when we watch those shows? We place ourselves in those positions,
right,
and in relation to the other people, and it's like a game. You know, you'll see people get online and talk about how much they hate this contestant or they adore that contestant, etc. And really what you're doing is you simulate the possible things that might happen to us in the future, and to think it through from the point of view of the contestants, But that prepares us to deal with those difficult conflicts. Mm. When we meet somebody who appears to be nice and is sweet but actually turns out to be a psychopath, how do we figure that out? And then what do we do about it? And
we don't give them a rose, Rob. We don't give them a rose.
Unless the producers tell us to.
Yes, exactly right. Unfortunately, though, most of us in our lives don't have producers telling us what to do when it comes to relationships. Rob, would you go on one of those shows to find love?
Look, no, I wouldn't, I must say. I've had my kids and I have a relationship, and I do hope that I don't have to navigate even just, you know, the online dating environment again. You know, evidence suggests that people will have to come back to the mating market in the future. So, you know, I don't envy people who have to navigate that world.
Yeah.
Well, lucky we've got experts like you to try and help. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob.
Thank you very much.
No worries. And National Science Week runs all of this week. You can find online events at scienceweek.net.au.
Josh and Maddie, Power Ballarat.
National Science Week.
Yeah,
I feel like
very
we should
exciting.
Do an experiment to see how many times it takes you to turn my microphone on.
Well, I could just do that and then I could talk. I could turn all mics off and then no one would hear us. No, I'm just kidding.
And then we'd get in lots of trouble. So, yeah, it is National Science Week. And, you know, it's been making me think about science back in my day in school. And it was a very weird and wonderful science class.
It was a fun class, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had some interesting teachers in science. And, you know, you seem to do, like, because it was a very practical class, there was, like, obviously, probably, like 60% theory, but then that 40% of prac was...
It was amazing.
It was a good time. When you had a prac class and it was like, oh, yes, what
all
are we doing today?
Science teachers are quite weird, aren't they? I had science teachers that are weird.
I had one that was a professor who went to Antarctica and he had some cool stories.
Oh, that's exciting.
But I feel like everyone has a story, whether it's from their class or a rumour around the school of like, oh, 2 years ago, the year 10 set the science classroom on fire and, you know, everyone got evacuated. Yeah. I feel like there is a ton of those stories out there in the world of what happened in science class. And we want to hear them. 533-1031 is the number. We've got a couple up on our Facebook page already, which is great to see. This one made me laugh this morning because the teacher wanted to get back at the kids who were doing a little bit of a farty-farty in the classroom for passing wind. So Lisa said that her teacher decided to mix up a bit of her concoction and slowly walk around the classroom with this beaker and, like, it would slowly leak out a smell that was rotten eggs, and everyone just smiled and laughed and then realised how horrendous it smelled.
Yes.
And I think it's fair to say that those boys never did one again because the teacher... one up them pretty much with the smell.
Oh, you want a smell? I'll give you a smell. Yeah, 533-1031. What happened in science class? We want to hear some stories.
Kate from Ballarat East, do you have a story about what happened in science class?
I do. In my year 9 science class, we were dissecting eyeballs, and a group of boys decided at the end of the class to take the leftovers home on the bus.
Ooh.
And filled their pockets. And as we were driving into Bray Raceway, which is the bus interchange, they started throwing eyeballs out the window at other schools.
Oh, God. Did they get in trouble from the school being like, why did you take eyeballs from the classroom?
I don't know if there was any repercussions or if anyone ever found out. Cause I'm assuming at the end of class they would have just thrown them all out. But, yeah, so... heap of kids got hit with sheep eyeballs.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's not for me. It's bad enough in science class having to dissect it, let alone getting the lingering product getting thrown at you on your way home from school.
And I can remember I can remember the smell as well. Oh, awesome. Thanks for the story, Kate.
No worries at all.
Keith from Alfreton, what happened in science class?
Well, I was doing an experiment with one of my mates, and you know how you get that Bunsen burner? He put some... mothballs in the Bunsen, in the little beaker over the Bunsen burner and melted them. Ooh. Then he poured it down the sink.
That's just poison, like straight up.
Well, he poured it down the sink and, of course, mothballs get hardened. He ended up flooding the lab, and I got in trouble for it for some reason. Don't know why.
Because you were an accomplice to it, let's be honest.
Oh, wow, that really sucks. Thanks, Keith.
No worries.
I feel like with Bunsen burners in science class, the whole fun of it is just burning different things to see how they burn.
Yeah, see, I'm scared of fire, so I was never the one to try and do that, but I would be in, like, the little groups of people, like, doing the experiments, being like, let's just set this thing on fire. I'm like, can we not? I don't, just no, thank you. I was scared of fire.
You were the goody two-shoes in the class.
Just because I'm scared of it getting, like, not because I'm scared of getting in trouble, scared because I'm scared of me setting on fire. That's the reason.
Well, we have a Facebook post up on our Facebook page, Power FM Ballarat on Facebook. Let us know some of the funny stories that you got up to in science class, okay? And
celebrate National Science Week.
Yeah.
Josh and Maddie, Power FM.
Recently, we've been discovering if you would survive tragedies.
Different things.
And around the world. And I thought we could continue this trend. We found out if you survive a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
If you'd survive the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to find out if you would survive the Titanic sinking, because it's James Cameron's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, James
the
Cameron.
Director of Titanic.
I don't know whether I would survive this. If there was a floating door, maybe.
I'll get into that later on this morning if we need. So I have found a quiz to find out if you would survive. I've already done it. I survived.
Okay.
I was very close to not surviving, but I did.
Okay.
Just. Alrighty, so getting to our first question, what would you spend most of your time doing on the ship? Now, this is before the tragedy.
Okay.
What are you kind of, you dancing? Are you just walking around? You swimming in the pools? Are you just gossiping? Are you just chilling with the guys? What's your vibe?
Well, it's in the middle of the Arctic, so probably not in the pool. Just chilling, hanging out.
Strolling on the decks?
Yeah, strolling on the decks.
Enjoying the views?
Yeah, exactly.
All righty. You've hit the iceberg.
Oh, no.
A crew member knocks on your door telling you to put your lifebelt on. It's probably a terrible accent from the movie. And what do you do? Do you put it on? Do you see what other people are doing? Do you just go back to bed?
No, I put it on.
You put it on and straight up to the deck?
Definitely.
All righty. You listen. You're a good listener to the crew.
If someone came in, and you're on a boat and someone comes in and says, put your life jacket on, you don't go, nah,
it's an unsinkable ship, though.
Oh, true. Yeah, fair enough.
All right. We've moved forward a little bit. It's the last lifeboat and you're at the back of the group of people trying to get on it. Mm-hmm. Do you wait patiently for crew to do some more lifeboat stuff or do you just push everyone to get out of the way?
What angle is the boat at? Are we like...
We're starting to sink.
Okay.
There's only a couple of lifeboats left.
No, I push.
You're pushing?
No, it's life and death. You got to... Every man for himself.
All right. All the lifeboats are now gone. You didn't get on that one.
Damn, okay.
What do you do? Do you run towards the back of the ship and try and figure out a plan from there? Do you just jump into the water, try to swim for a lifeboat that's already out there, or mm-hmm. something else?
Something else? Sure.
All right.
I can already feel it. I think I'm going to die.
All right. We're at the point where the boat splits in two.
Oh, good.
You're at the back.
Yeah.
So it's pulling you down. It's leaving you hanging up. You know the end of the movie where they like hang on the outside?
They're hanging,
Hold on, Jack. Hold on.
Yep.
Do you fall off at that point or do you have a good grip?
Good grip.
Or you grab it onto someone else?
No, good grip.
You got a good grip?
I've done my hand day.
All right, it's finally sunk.
Okay.
You're in the cold water with hundreds of people. What do you do? Wait to die.
Wow.
Try to cling on to a door that's floating.
Okay.
A piece of wreckage. Or do you try to swim to another lifeboat?
A piece of wreckage.
Yeah. Try to climb onto it?
Yeah.
All right, let's find out if you have survived the Titanic.
Emotional.
You were so close to surviving, but you didn't. You tried to survive, but in the end, you ended up dying with other 1,500 souls that also didn't get a lifeboat. Don't feel so bad. You no longer have to worry about anything else now in the world.
Because I'm dead.
Yeah, it's a really morbid ending to this, isn't it?
103.1 Power FM's Josh and Maddie.
You've worked in sales. I've done a little bit of sales stuff, working in a telecommunications company. What do you think the three steps to sales are? If there were three steps, what do you think they would be?
Oh, so say, for instance, like, I've got to sell you this pen here.
Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street it.
I could do the Wolf of Wall Street one, but I feel like, write me something, Josh. With what? You can't pick up your own pen. That's rude. Three steps. Probably like introducing yourself, like doing a bit of like a get personal with them.
Yeah.
And then
humanize it.
Yeah. And then presenting the product and then give examples with the product.
Yep.
And then close it. That's kind of four steps.
I reckon that's pretty close. This guy's gone a bit of a different way. He's come up with his own three steps. A TikTok salesperson. His name is Tupperware Pete 1 on TikTok if you want to go and check him out. He's put a video up trying to sell some Tupperware, and he's got three steps, I reckon. The first step is a strong start. Listen to this.
Give me a potato keeper. Won't somebody help me clean the dirt off the floor? Give me a potato keeper. I don't want to clean the dirt up anymore.
So strong start.
So wait, he's a potato keeper. Is that
a potato keeper? It's just a Tupperware box you put potatoes in.
Oh, I thought it was saying kefir, and I was I know that there is, like, there's kefirs, which are potatoes.
No, just potato kefir.
What does the dirt on the floor have to do with that?
Well, because apparently people are just keeping their potatoes on the floor.
Okay.
Apparently. Step two is to show other examples to reel them in. You've hit them with the first product. The person's going, okay, I'm interested.
What else can it do?
What else can it do? Tupperware Pete's got you covered.
No more mess when I'm stirring my onions and onions? A few garlic cloves.
Garlic cloves.
I can store them on the bench next to the stove.
So great.
Tired of mincing, I reach for my chopper and I chop into the night. And there's nothing left to wipe, no tears inside.
So you fixed the problem of crying while you're chopping onions, apparently.
Yeah,
somehow.
So I'm thinking that he has like a little attachment that goes on top of it and you
chop
push
onions.
It down.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I still don't get the first bit about the dirt on the floor, but anyways, moving on.
Step three, I think, is a strong call to action.
How do you get the product?
How do you get this product? I think he's tried to do that here, but hasn't really hit the mark.
Is there a soul out there who hasn't seen Tupperware?
Good rhyming use there.
Yep. Octave change. But there's no call to action at the end. I don't know how to get this
presenting the product.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing someone like at an infomercial being like, look at this product. Isn't it amazing?
Well, the first thing I thought of was the ShamWow guy.
But then it's like being the ShamWow guy and then just leaving halfway through the ad. Like
you like this product?
Look how good this is. Okay, bye. Like, what are you doing, Pete?
Oh, Pete, you need a stronger call to action. I want to know where I can get this
I don't think you want to know how much it probably costs either, because no shade to Tupperware. It's expensive. Yeah. Jeez.
It's money.
Josh and Maddie, Power Ballarat. Well, that's it. Another podcast over. You can tune in to Josh and Maddie live weekdays from 6 on Power FM Ballarat.